Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We're the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert evaluation. The word association. We're the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert evaluation. We're the word association.
Oh, hello there. Can I have a minute of your time? Would you like to sign this petition to get more episodes of the Word Association? That's right. That's me. My friends to my right and left, Rob White and Brett Lyons. We are the Word Association, also known as TWA. Every episode, we bring three words to the table that inspires us to word associate, to tell stories, to chat our butts off. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. Just ready to,
pretty good.
Associate, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't think that's anyone has ever said that before.
How do you guys
feel? Let's make it a thing.
Just because I did it to you, how do you guys feel when someone says, like, how's it going? What's up? How you doing?
I always just say, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never tell the truth. Yeah.
I could be doing the worst
I'll never I've tell. Ever.
Thank you so much, Brittany. What's
Murphy?
Her name? Brittany Murphy.
R.I.P.
I could be doing the worst I've ever been doing.
TWA.
I'll just be like, good, doing great. One of my pet peeves is when I, because I fall into that trap of just being like, how's it going? One of my biggest pet peeves is when people go, amazing.
Yeah.
and then they start to like go launch into something. And I'm
well,
like,
that's your fault. You asked
I
them.
Didn't. I,
you
I,
asked
it is.
Them how they were doing.
It truly is my fault. But then I get into this thing of like, I think universally, I thought we all agreed to just be like, I'm good.
Yeah, that's then, just a throwaway line. It's a throwaway.
Yes, exactly.
Thing.
But there's people who love to talk about themselves. And
have you ever felt amazing? I don't know if I've ever felt amazing. I don't. I honestly don't know if I've ever felt amazing.
You've had a wedding and two kids born.
Yeah, but have you
Rob,
felt? Yeah,
Rob.
I feel like I'm fine.
You've
in
done
every,
LSD before.
Yeah,
and you haven't touched your skin, or you touched, you know, leather.
I okay.
Or felt
if you're talking about being influenced, and even then, I would say if you were to get into it, I don't know if it's amazing.
Wow,
it was an experience.
Like,
it was a long time ago. But
lay on a pool table.
Yeah, I.
You don't remember like 2002. You just got off stage. You crushed it. You lit up a cigarette. Had a Miller Lite. You didn't feel amazing.
You didn't feel top of the world.
I guess. Yeah. Well, you could feel like a sense of satisfaction, but it's fleeting. I guess.
Yeah.
If you see me at a grocery store, that feeling is not there. But I also, I don't know. I guess. I don't know.
Maybe here's what I'll say,
amazing.
Rob.
Yeah.
As much as I'm picking on you right now, I agree with you. I think I have too much anxiety. I think I am a prisoner in my own mind so often that I think even when things are going really well or I'm on vacation or something, you know, nothing is going sort of quote unquote wrong in my life. Mm-hmm. I think I still start to be like, all this could go away. Oh no.
Oh.
What's going to, happen?
My mind fires too much. So even if something's over and maybe it did feel amazing, I'm already thinking about the next thing or what maybe I could have done better, even though it was amazing.
See, I don't have that, but I don't, I think it's...
Well, fuck you.
I think it's
all
just,
right.
I felt
Sarah
good.
Plain and
I
tall. Felt,
we tried to support
no,
your pessimistic
I think everything's, everybody's feelings are valid. Let's just all say that.
But, why'd you say it in that tone?
Yeah, why'd you change it?
All I will say is I know I felt good. I'm like, hey, this is a good day, or this thing was happening that was good. I'm in a good mood. That is not amazing to me.
Sure.
So I've been in a good mood. I'm normally just in a fine mood. I'm rarely in a bad mood. I can get mad sometimes, sure. But yeah, I guess, yeah, I don't know. How was your day? Yeah, it was a good day.
Good
it was
for
a good
you,
day.
Not have any anxiety in your life that, you know.
I don't,
you
can't. I don't think I probably should.
That's not, I don't think it's a good thing. I probably should be worried about things.
I don't think I've ever said I'm amazing or thought like this. I am doing amazing.
No, yeah. I mean, one thing might be going great, but there's nine things that aren't.
Even if I was amazing, I wouldn't want to tell somebody about it.
Yeah.
I don't even listen to that Aerosmith song at all.
I don't sing the Grace. but I feel like, I can't remember who did this to me. Somebody at a picnic once came up to me.
Right there, not amazing to be at a picnic. Why would you just bring food outside? That's where bugs live.
Exactly. Somebody at a picnic once came up to me, and it's like someone I casually kind of knew. And as they walked up to me, I said like, hey, and they said, hey, and immediately said, which is maybe my favorite prompt. They said like, what have you been enjoying lately? Mm. And I was like, I was so thrown at first, and I was like, oh. And then I think I said like a book I was reading or something. Maybe it was like,
that's someone who hates the
10th of December or something. But I just love the idea of connecting immediately instead of saying like, how's it going? Being like, or what have you been up to? Just saying like, what's something you're enjoying lately? Because everyone probably has something they're enjoying lately.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I think that's such a
But that's also someone who cracked the code of they hate the small talk of how are you doing.
And they're being the change they want to see.
They want to be the change they want to see. And you know what?
That's
they're probably amazing for
There's nothing wrong with that. I also don't think there's anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like that so much more than how's it going? Because I don't care about that. But I do truly want to answer
what
if someone asks me.
What you been jerking off to lately?
I guess that's good. Yeah. What picnics are you going to?
Oddly enough, that same novel I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. The 10th of December by George Saunders.
I just did the Cliff Notes. Didn't get me there.
Lincoln and the Bardo is practically pornographic. Well, let's get into our words for the day. I'll go first, as I think I always do.
Yep.
And my word for today is list. Now, I don't know if you guys know this. Brett, I lived with you for a while.
I did notice you did have a lisp.
And it's cured. I got...
You said lisp, though, right? L-I-S-T?
I had a lisp. It was sort of a thing where I fell on my mouth, and it was almost a Rookie of the Year situation where I could...
I'm really just trying to figure out what word you said.
I could
spit
real
hard. Did
you say
lisp or lisp?
L-I-S-T.
L-I-S-T.
Okay, good. I want to make sure that my bit was valid, and it wasn't your actual word.
Right. You bit your lisp?
Check.
My word is list, L-I-S-T. Now, I don't know how much, if you guys know about this, but I am obsessed with lists, especially I love any sort of like the top 10 blank of all time. Love getting any sort of magazine or maybe not anymore magazine, but any sort of like year in list.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If someone's like, here's the top 10 movies of the year or the top 10 restaurants of the year.
Yes, we were, when we did live together, as you were about to say, we were big into the end of year music lists.
Yes. And even daily, I will sit down and make, on a clipboard, I'll make like a to-do list nowadays where I just put down every little thing I need to get done. Because mostly my life is like, every day of my life is typically like 300 2-minute tasks. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of death by 1,000 cuts. So I feel like I have to.
You don't sound like you're having an amazing day whatsoever.
That's amazing. So I feel like I have to keep track of it all. Otherwise, little things will start to slip through the cracks. So I'm very diligent about every morning. Well, I get up at like 2 p.m. Every adult morning, which is 2
every
p.m.
mid-afternoon.
Right.
I sit down and I'm like, let me have a coffee and like write out every little thing I have to do. And then it's so satisfying for me to draw a little line for it. Like that releases some amount of like
you accomplish
dopamine.
A task for the
day. I feel good about myself. I feel amazing. So that's my thoughts about lists. Lists are a big part of my life and I enjoy them. They bring me great joy.
I think that's, I'm the opposite. I'm absolutely not organized and don't make lists for anything.
No, if someone's you should write down what you want to do and yada yada. I'm like, no, I'm not interested in that. That doesn't motivate me whatsoever.
I can't do that. I can't do some sort of like, I don't believe in sort of like manifestation
like dream boards.
Or the secret or anything.
I do believe in the dream police, and I know that because they live inside my head. But any type of that stuff. I mean, while I, in my mind, I know I have 1,000 tasks I have to do, and I know I will cross them off one by one. And but I also then like invent 1,000 tasks a day. So it's like always a rotating list that's always being added to. So I don't think I can like sit down and be like, oh, okay, I'm going to write down this is what I want to accomplish today. And also I'm watching a child all day. So I just also don't have the time of like what I would like to do.
Are you and MJ ever going to have a kid?
We.
I made you a creep.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a park across from my house. I don't like how high they swing.
Too high.
Yeah, no, I think a list would make my life better because I very often will get to the end of the day and go, oh, shit, I should have. Like, I just do that. That's my life. And I don't do calendars that well either, which is
I do like a physical planner. Rob, you don't have any sort of Google calendar or anything?
No, I don't keep anything. And it only really, it's not gone well a few times. Like there was one time when it was absolutely an absolute fuck up of epic proportions. And it was only once, but that's all you really need. When I was engaged, we were having an engagement party. My wife and I, not my wife then. And like her parents live in a condo. They got this like rec room in the condo. I say rec room. It was like, it's like a high rise. It was like the same
it's
thing.
A very nice
reserve,
place.
Yeah. A party
all
room.
This stuff. Party room. Thank you. That's the right. It's not a rec room. And we were doing all that and it was great. And then we're like, okay, great. It's on this date. Awesome. And then, you know, about a month into before it was about to start, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Oh my God. I said I would go to an improv festival that weekend. And my wife was like, what?
Not even a show, a festival.
A festival.
I'm assuming
it was a show.
Out of town. Yeah.
It was out of town. It was a show. And it was like a with two other people.
A two-man show.
Yeah. And she was like, what? And she was, I mean, she never gets mad. She was,
I've never
mad.
Seen Megan.
And her parents were, not yeah. happy. I mean, it was.
Wait
not
a minute. Did
great.
You do the festival over the engagement party?
I did. And, but
I've never seen,
I had agreed
say,
to that. Or, it was a thing.
Oh,
it's not even that I've never
gracious.
Seen Megan mad. I've never seen Megan without
a smile,
ear to ear smile plastered on her face.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which tells you all you need to know. And
yeah, because even when she's probably mad at you in that situation, it's still kind of a little bit funny because
she's,
you know,
making
she's
it a positive.
Happy.
Yeah.
She was not happy about it.
Yeah.
Where was the festival?
It was in Ohio.
Okay.
It might have been Ohio University or Ohio State.
So you chose Ohio.
It wasn't
over
a it was a really tricky thing. And it was like, well,
Ohio
no.
is for lovers.
It was, there were more to it. We talked about it. She was like, we'll move it. But it was a thing of like, she was like, this is, cause she had told me many times to keep a calendar. I was like, don't need to. And then that was case in point. I did.
I mean, if I have something come, like if I have a concert, I'll put it in the calendar. Mm-hmm. But like, for the most part, I don't put like the daily things. Like I don't put my daughter's, you know, little gym class in the calendar. And
no
I don't
need to
put, like,
be reductive about your daughter's class, little gym class.
I mean, that's what it's called. It's called a little gym.
That's when people are like, how's your little podcast going? And I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I think I always have a pretty good gauge of what's going on. So, yeah. And also like,
God bless. Can't
well,
do
it's
it.
Not that, it's not that. It's like, I know my wife works every day from 9 to 5. So I know that like, whatever is going on, it's something I have going on. It's not something she would also have going on. So I don't really have to worry about a whole big calendar for the whole family.
And so, I don't put my kids' Little John class in my calendar either. That's where they just learn about Robin Hood.
Oh, I'm excited for Little Wayne class. Little Wayne class is coming up pretty soon. That's where we go to the doctor and make sure she doesn't have a little wheezy.
Have you guys ever, back to list, have you ever like, made the list, you know, like looking down
list or
a list or Dean's list or even like a casting list or like
that
make
was,
the team. Are you on the
I
list
was,
for the team?
Yeah. I mean, I was mayor for a day in my hometown growing up.
And
but
that
was there a list where all the kids went to go check to see if they were mayor for the day?
Brett, that was like a big joke where kids were bullying you and they tricked you into that?
Yeah, they did. I got to wear a sash and everything.
Held a big key.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, for sure. Like there was, in high school, I auditioned for like all the plays and musicals and you had to check the list.
That was how you found out?
Okay. That was how you found out. Oh, yeah.
And you were Sky Masterson?
Even same thing with, I was Big Julie in Guys and Dolls. Big Julie. And then even then when we started going through I.O., or at least when I started.
Oh, sure. No, I remember that.
You had to go to the theater and your name was either on the list or it wasn't on the list.
Physical, like that.
The first time I grabbed it, my name wasn't on the list. And I was like, oh, no. But I had been added to an existing team. So like I looked at the new teams first and my name wasn't on it. And I was like, oh, shit. But then I was like, and then it said like, oh, no, I was added to an existing team already.
That must have felt amazing.
It felt great.
I think high school and college more excitingly so, because I was a theater major, as was Rob, that they would put up some sort of list in the theater department building. Like there was like a little coffee shop in the theater department. So they would put that up. I think it was called Centennial West. They'd put that up and it would just be like, this might have even been, I guess cell phones were around, but this is before people were like using cell phones a ton.
Right.
You would just kind of hang around there and then someone would give a big yell and you all run over, or you'd hear from a friend. Somebody would come by your dorm room and be like, the cast list is up and you'd race down there.
You're the butcher. Yeah.
Nobody would ever say that. It would always be like, the cast list is up. No one would ever say,
spoiled.
Even when I got cast, people would not be like, you got cast as blank. It was like an unspoken rule of like, whether you're going to be elated or disappointed, I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah. Because
you do want to, it is a rite of passage to look at the list.
Yeah.
So if someone just says you've been cast and then you're like, oh, I guess I don't even have to go down there, or you didn't make it, you just came in.
Right. You have so to, there was, everybody wants to have that anxiety of walking.
Yes.
And, they want that experience. Yes. Looking to, knowing that they're like, wanted.
Opening a letter of acceptance from a college or something. But it was also nice if you didn't get cast, which I would know how that felt because I was in a production every semester. Thank you so much. But if you didn't get cast, it was nice for those folks who didn't get cast to be, there'd be other people who didn't get cast and they could commiserate.
Or
say like, congrats to the people who did. And so you could get over it quicker to some degree versus just like if you saw it online and you just sit in your room and get fucking
sulk.
Touch a wall or something. So Rob, did you not have cast lists in your college?
We did, actually. I didn't. I'd forgotten about it until you mentioned that. And I was like, oh, no, wait, we did have the same thing where it would be posted on a piece of paper and we would go look. What was my first role? Because I didn't do theater in like high school or anything. Mm-hmm. And so like my first role that I got was in 12 Angry Men.
Ooh.
And how old were you when you did this?
19.
Okay.
This was college?
Yeah. College.
And were you one of the angry men?
I was the guard. I didn't even get one of the angry men.
Oh, no. You're not.
Rob, I was the guard.
There was 12 parts you could have gotten.
Yeah.
I think I had like four lines. And I remember at one point, I said like something at the top, like, all right, everybody sit down or whatever. And then at one point in the show, I like opened the door and go, is everything okay? I heard some noise. And then I shut. That was it. I think I had three lines.
Yeah, I would say even Rob, even from you just saying the line right there, and not a note. Mm-hmm. I love you, buddy. But even when you said it right there, it wasn't believable. Like you made too much of a meal out of it.
You're right.
I would have been like, if I was one of the angry men, I would have been like, it must have been the regular guy's day off. Joseph. I was Joseph in Joseph and
Dreamcoat.
Your first role was the star role.
Yes. And
did you sing? Was it?
Oh, yeah.
The
I
music?
Did the full package. It was sixth grade. And my mother directed it. So there was a lot of.
Nepotism.
No, there was nepotism after the fact that I played Joseph. But come on, babies. You knew who the most talented person was. And it was me. So I should have had that role. It's on video. I got the VHS somewhere.
My mother was directing 12 Angry Men and I got the guard.
She hates it.
Yeah.
My first role was. I was the leader of the chorus, or if you want to swap that around, the chorus leader in Lysistrata by Aristophanes. And so I had to wear like a, what do you call that? Not plaster of Paris, macrame? What is that? When you put like a wire mesh and you put crap over top of it.
Paper mache. What's that called?
Paper mache.
Paper mache.
Is it paper mache mask? Okay. We all wore paper mache masks to make us look like old men and women.
You didn't just do the lines? Didn't you remember like you just draw on the gray lines?
Yeah. That looked terrible. But we all had masks that had our like eyes and everything else cut out. And then we had like Greek robes on. And then because I don't know how well you two know Lysistrata, but it's basically about the
boners.
The women of Athens withholding sex until the men cease war. So we in the Greek
chorus.
We could
use that now.
Yeah. We in the Greek chorus had kind of like almost pool noodles as raging like 4 foot boners. So the whole play, we're wearing
these around.
But that was what they did in Greece.
Yes.
That was like the original production. They all had boners. The whole point was the men were so starved for sex.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't use pool noodles, but they had big.
Yeah. Well, they had pool noodles. They just went down to the Walgreens. This was 2000, I believe.
Oh, so you were 18?
I was a freshman in college. I was 18 or 19. But it was just kind of a visually shocking. And then my grandma came to the play because my mom was like, My mom was like, grandma wants to come see your first show. And I was like, oh, boy. And I remember her afterwards not saying anything to me. And my mom being like, she enjoyed the show, but she was a little upset of, like, sorry, I didn't ask her to come. But it was a good time. And I still remember the line because I had a lot of lines that were basically the Greek chorus is basically like talking to the audience the whole time. So I had to like give these, not monologues, but these asides to the audience to like clue in what's going on in history and information. But I remember one line that was, oh, Zeus, what's the use of this constant abuse? And that kind of plays in my head like once a week.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's all Greek to me.
It's all Greek to you, which is where the phrase comes from. Speaking of all Greek to you.
Yes.
Brett Lyons.
Yeah.
What is your Greek letter or word for today?
The word I am bringing in today is low key.
Wow. Okay. Mm. Here's the thing. I immediately feel a certain way, but Brett, why don't you tell us how you feel about that word?
Well, I think low key is keeping it on the down low. Like I know nowadays with also the Marvel universe, people think Loki, the guy. Well, it's his brother. Whose brother is it? I don't really subscribe
Thor's,
to a lot of that stuff.
Is Thor's half
brother? Thor's brother, whatever. His nephew? No, it's his brother. Right?
Stepbrother? Half brother?
I don't remember. Either way, but I think of low key like, oh, you know, like keep it on the down low, like not saying something is like really bad, but just being like, this is like low key, like not fun.
Yes.
Like you don't even want to, like it's worse than it's, you're trying to be reserved at how bad something is and you're trying to stay under the radar about it.
Yes.
See, I think about it as like somebody says like, he's low key smart, or that's the way I've heard of it. It's not, it's, like not, it's not a word I say.
Yeah. Yeah. My connotation with it is it should produce information that's not obvious, but the reason I had such a sort of, a quick feeling about it when you brought it up is I think today's youth, guys, today's youth, what are we doing?
Oh, geez, Louise.
I've heard them say, they'll say
Twitch.
Something, they'll say something where it's like, speaking of Marvel Universe, as an example, they'll be like, Brie Larson is low-key hot. Or like, it'll be like 85
right,
degrees.
Yeah.
They'll be like, it's low-key hot out. And I'm like, you're not using that in the way I think it's meant to be.
Yeah, it's definitely been grabbed and taken in a different
the
direction.
Porsche is a low-key cool car, and it's like, no.
I think the word is out.
It's yeah.
They're using, key. They don't want to, I think they're just using it in the sense of they don't want to be part of the masses, and they will say like, whoa, Porsche is such a cool car. They want to be low-key, but you know, they want to be like, look, I like it, but I'm not going to tell you I like
it. Could you say the phrase, I low-key took a massive shit? Does that make sense?
Here's the thing, Rob. You absolutely could.
You absolutely could. Yeah.
Would people respond to you? No.
Okay. I would just keep it. Honestly, Rob, I would just keep it low key about how big that shit was.
All right. Well, here's the thing.
I also think of a mouse's house, a mouse house also has a low key.
Did you clog that mouse's toilet? Because a mouse is not built for human shits, Rob. you should contribute to the plumbing. What you're doing is revealing a secret. So there was no way through context clues, through anything, through previous experience, that we could tell you took a shit. But if you say, but you were, when you
said, there'd be some clues. Yeah. I mean, there'd probably be some clues.
But if you said someone, if you said Matt Damon's janitor in Good Will Hunting was low key smart, and that, you know, that's appropriate because you might be like, you might be like, no, everyone thinks he's a janitor. I've seen him at the chalkboard doing his little math. He's low key brilliant. Right. So, but I think, if you're the person who did something and then you reveal it and it's something nobody else could have possibly known, I don't think that means, I think low key is the appropriate term.
You can't really use it about yourself.
Yeah, you can't. I couldn't be like,
could he have taken a low key massive dump? Maybe not me.
I just think maybe you should just get away with trying to use that to describe the dumps you know or someone you know is taking.
Here's what I think.
I'm just trying to go for something quiet and something loud.
You could use low key, but it has to be like, you know, if you're like I low key kind of like Imagine Dragons. It's like we're all
you could use it
like,
for that too.
We're
all
built to like hate this thing. Like,
and here's the thing,
everyone's Brett, like, oh, Nickelback sucks. But like, you can be like, I kind of low key like Nickelback.
Brett, I read Rob on his acting. I just heard you say you low key like Imagine Dragons and Nickelback. I didn't sense an ounce of falsehood in that.
Hey, you know what? Never met it as a wise man.
I think you just blew up your spot.
Baby.
Yeah. how do we feel about when? I guess this is mostly celebrities or purely celebrities. When they try and be quote unquote low key, which is typically a baseball cap with no branding on it, sunglasses, and then some amount of like hoodie or jacket or whatever that might be. How do we feel about that?
You got to do it.
Oh, I think, I mean, honestly, COVID was probably the best time to be a celebrity because you could go anywhere and do anything and you were absolutely covered. I have no problem with that. I mean, I think it's worse now than it ever has been with, obviously, with people taking photos, cell phones, all that stuff and like that. Like, I think some people go out and if they are really dialed up and yada, yada, like it's unfortunate, but like you're going to draw more people. The low key people, it's like they really just want to be a member of society. It's unfortunate that they can't be anymore, but you got to go low key.
COVID was the best time for celebrities to be low key, except for Anthony Edwards, Juliana Margulies, Noah Wiley, and George Clooney. Because they put on those blue masks and people were like, it's Blake from ER.
I never would have guessed. I didn't know where you were going.
I didn't know
at first, when you said Anthony Edwards, I was like, did he die from COVID? I thought that's where you were going.
I started that road and I was like, I hope to God the names come to me because I'm like, well, I cannot remember some of their names, but Noah
Wiley. I was never an ER watcher, but I knew all those names from the show.
Sure. I used to watch it. I had a black and white TV that was like five, you know, like one of those portable TVs with like an antenna. I had one of those in my room and I would watch that because I would go like tell my parents, like, I'm going to go watch TV in my room because at that point I was chewing tobacco and I would chew tobacco and watch
and
network
watch
TV every night. Yeah.
I just see a guy's come in and be like, he's got mouth cancer. And you're like, well, that's tough for him.
Yeah. Rob's low key nasty.
I'm wrapping it in gum.
Well, I only did it for like 8 months, and then I saw my gums, and I was like, something's got to give.
Something's got to give. Disgusting.
I remember watching some ER, but at some point, I don't know why, but at some point in my life, Omar Epps was like one of my favorite actors, but I couldn't tell you why that is. But I remember he became a guest star.
Was he on House?
He was on House.
He was on House.
But he was on ER.
Later on, though.
He was on ER for a run, some sort of arc or whatever. But I remember his final episode is when I stopped watching because he was a doctor on, let's say he was on 14 episodes or something. And then he was on an episode where they bring in this like crumpled body that's absolutely mangled because they were hit by a train. They were on the tracks when a train hit them. And it's just this absolute mess of a body. The person is still alive. Like there's a possibility they could be saved or whatever. They're still having a pulse.
But they're like low-key dead though.
They're low-key dead. But they're like, let's page Dr. Williams. Let's say Omar Epps' character was Dr. Williams. They go, page Dr. Williams immediately. And they page Dr. Williams and the body on the gurney has a pager that starts going off. And I remember just being like, fuck no. And that was the last time I watched ER because it was such an upsetting episode.
Do you think when Omar Epps
the pager survived the train crash?
That's impressive. But do you think when Omar Epps when he films something, is he like, that's going to be a good episode?
Oh no.
I was trying to figure it out. I think he must.
I hope he does.
Oh man.
I think there was, so he has a brother, Mike Epps, who's mm-hmm. in a lot of comedies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a podcast.
Oh, fun fact. I didn't know that was his brother until you just said that.
I don't know if Comedy Bang Bang is on your radar. Comedy podcast?
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
But there was someone on Comedy Bang Bang, who once said, like, episodes 204 and 203, they're like Omar and Mike taking out the trash. Those are good eps. And I always thought that was pretty funny.
That's really funny. That's a good one.
That's good.
Question for you, and this is a long shot, and I doubt you guys know, but I really should just look it up on IMDb. Did you ever see a show? It was a sitcom. It was set in an emergency room, and it starred Elliot Gould.
A sitcom?
Was it Chicago Hope?
No, but that wasn't a sitcom. It was like a comedy. It was a comedy, and Elliot Gould was a doctor in an ER.
Was it like Elliot Gould being like, you have cancer?
No, I don't remember a ton of it. When I was a kid.
If I think I can place Elliot Gould in Scrubs on some sort of show, but I don't know. I don't know what the show is called.
It's funny that this came out. I was just thinking about this the other day, and I couldn't think of it. I should have just looked it up.
No. Was it? Do you remember it being good? Would it hold up?
I mean, to me as a kid, I loved it, but I don't know if it was good.
Was it him checking people's Gould Coast levels?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What's the pun there?
Glucose?
Oh, glucose.
Yeah.
I thought you were making a Gold Coast reference to Chicago. I was like, Gould Coast?
Either way, I'd be Gould to the TV every week to see it.
There we go.
It's the same thing. Glue. It's the same thing.
I think Elliot Gould famously, for me, has the most stilted acting I've ever seen. Like when he's on Friends as Ross and Monica's dad, he's always like, Ross, what are you doing?
You're just blowing it. I like him.
But he's fun. He used to be very attractive.
He's a star. Have you seen Bob Carroll, Ted Nallis? He was.
Yeah. I've seen some pictures of him in his 20s, and he was a hot man. Speaking of hot man, why don't we take the quickest of breaks, look up that picture of Tom Selleck on a couch? No, that was Burt Reynolds. Yeah. That's Burt Reynolds. Well, let's look up a picture of Tom
Seaver.
Tom Selleck in Mr. Baseball, and we'll be right back with more of the Word Association.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back, and we got our fill of mustaches, sexy mustaches, which, speaking of sexy mustaches, Rob doesn't have a mustache, but he does have a word for us. Rob, what is your word today?
My word today is pillow.
Oh.
Just maybe a nice, soft, I mean, whatever it means to you or just how you feel about pillows. I actually have an opinion on pillows, but...
Let's hear it.
Love to hear it.
One is enough, and I know I'm in the minority.
Disagree. You gotta have two.
I sleep with one pillow. My wife has like five. My daughter has a bunch. If I go to a hotel, the first thing I do is I remove all. Either put them on the floor, or if I'm by myself in a hotel room, I move all the pillows to the other side of the bed. Don't need them. Just need one.
No.
Or I'll put them on the floor. Or my wife will just take them. But yeah, I'm staunchly one pillow. A second pillow, I don't know where to do it. I don't need two under my head.
Is it a king? Is it a king pillow at least?
My current pillow is a king, but if it's not a king, that's fine. It's still one pillow. Whatever size it is, it's one pillow.
You're breaking the Geneva Convention. This is
the second pillow is there just in case you lose the first pillow sometime in your sleep.
What are you doing with your pillows, man?
What am I?
I am stacking them so that my neck is at a 72 degree angle when I sleep. Who's the king in Spaceballs? Who plays the king?
What's
Dom DeLuise? What is?
No, it's the guy from.
Oh, I'm thinking from of History of the Enough. World.
Who's the guy from Eight Is Enough? Or
that, well, Dick Van Patten.
Thank
you. Dick
Van
Patten.
I was going to say, call me Dick Van Patten, because for me, when it comes to pillows, eight is enough. I need
too much Patten. I only need a little bit of Patten.
I need at least three, I'd say.
All go under your head, or do they go somewhere else?
They all go under the head, my man.
Like in between the legs.
My good sir.
I'll do two on the head, one on the ankles.
Huh.
One on your ankles or your ankles
on
the pillow?
No, my ankles are on it. My ankles,
you don't like drape a pillow over
your
ankles?
No, I don't like suffocate my ankles over there. Talk.
I can't sleep unless it feels like someone's holding me down.
I like to sleep like I'm being quarter horsed, basically.
Drawn and quartered, you mean?
Yeah, whatever.
Quarter horsed.
No, quarter horse. At a grocery store where you put a quarter in and you go.
That's what you find out in front of a Jewel Osco. Keep the kids busy while you're shopping.
Whatever. Some quarter. I like to call quarter horse. It's easier to say quarter horse.
Sleep unless it feels like I'm riding a horse.
Definitely three pillows for sure.
Okay, Rain Man. Definitely three pillows. How many pillows did I drop? Three pillows. You're not smart. Here's what I'll say. I got a pillow. I got it off Amazon. It's called the Weekender Gel Memory Foam Pillow, queen size. This is the best pillow I've ever used in my life. It's like memory foam.
Weekender.
It is incredible.
Now,
it's changed my sleep.
I used to be a memory foam pillow guy.
Sure.
And then I just got to a point where like I wasn't enjoying it anymore. I didn't like the firmness of it. So now I go with like the Costco 2-pack of like down alternative ones that are like $14.
Okay.
And those get the job done big time.
Rob, I think it's worth saying you would thrive in prison.
I think I would. I'm minimal.
Maybe do one, knuckle push-ups, one pillow.
Well, here's what I'd appreciate. I would appreciate the time to work out. I wouldn't mind the bed, but I would not fare well in any like protecting myself at all.
Yeah.
And I'm not like just in any situation. I'm no good.
Yeah, your last name's White, so you'd already be like, well, he's part of the Aryan Brotherhood.
I wouldn't go in with those guys, but I don't know. Yeah.
I also feel like they would at one point you'd be woken up in the morning and they'd be like, hey, why didn't you go to your appeal case? And you'd be like, fuck. I don't keep a calendar.
So here's my question. Do you turn at all, or do you go to bed like on your back and you wake up on your back? Or are you
My back. I sleep on my stomach.
On your stomach sleeper. I am also a stomach sleeper. Yeah, I'm a stomach sleeper.
Wait. Mm-hmm. So your face is in the pillow?
No, it's to the side.
No, it's to the side, but my stomach is flat against my stomach is on the bed.
Yeah. I'm a side sleeper and I can't imagine being comfortable.
Because I will say
this
leads me to the thing. I've been targeted on Instagram for this cube pillow.
Oh, that looks no, thank you.
It's supposed to be for side sleepers, and it literally is it's a cube that is supposed to make your neck perfectly like symmetrical if you are a side sleeper.
Is there like a divot in it?
It's just a straight up cube.
Oh, I hate
but it
that.
Fits under your neck. Like it goes under your neck. So like your head and your neck are perfectly straight.
Huh. Yeah.
Do you use airline pillows?
Go ahead. Airline pillows?
You ever use one of those neck pillows? Why don't I call it an airline pillow? Well, I guess they're
I guess it is.
Yeah. I got one time and then I never used it again because I forgot it at my destination.
Yeah.
And like I'm never like, oh, this is, I mean, I can fall asleep kind of anywhere. So
I use it once or twice, but I typically ball up. If I have a jacket or a hoodie or something, I usually ball that up and then put it up against the window and fall asleep that way.
Do you know what I do? I just tilt my head back and no pillow. I really don't.
When
they give you the pillow and the blanket on the long flight, I put them in the overhead because I don't want them anywhere near me. I'm like,
the headrest has you can bend that out and you can use that to lean on.
Yeah, the two flaps or whatever.
Yeah. Did you know that, Rob?
No, I didn't know that.
No, when you sit on a plane, when you sit down the headrest, you bend it out and then you can lean on that.
I've never known that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's two things that also pop in my head when I think of pillows, besides me using several of them, is was it what's the Full Metal Jacket?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the movie where they put like soap in
a
pillowcase?
No, I was thinking of A Few Good Men.
No.
Was it Few Good Men?
No, no, no. They do
well, the code
they
red.
Do it to
oh, they
the
do
guy.
It in both. They do it in
oh,
both.
They do it in both. Yeah, they
oh,
do
they do it.
It
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is when you said A Few Good Men, I was thinking An Officer and a Gentleman, and I was like, I don't remember them beating the shit out of Richard Gere.
No. Yeah, no, I think it's in both. No,
but they put soap in a
pillowcase.
Yes.
And then like hold somebody down and wallop them.
Yeah, D'Onofrio.
Yeah. D'Onofrio's I've never seen him in a role that wasn't terrifying. Men in Black, terrifying.
Yep.
The Cell with Jennifer
terrifying.
Lopez, terrifying. Yep. Daredevil, terrifying. Full Metal
SVU?
Jacket, terrifying.
Lost. He was in Criminal Intent.
Criminal Intent, terrifying.
Thank you.
Lauren and Eves.
And then the other thing I think of, and maybe even a specific dish, maybe it wasn't a specific dish. I was going to say another thing that Pillows makes me think of is like gnocchi or some sort of like pasta.
Pillowy
is a great word to describe like
dough or
yes. And I was almost gonna say, Rob, you and I went to a restaurant that had something called like Pillows of Love, but it was love letters.
It was love
which
letters,
which was
one
of Battalion's places, but I forget which one.
There was
incredible.
A woman who did improv.
It was
that you guys might remember. Okay. She played in our poker game for a while. Her name was Jenna Newsom. I don't know if you remember her.
Blonde.
Yes, she was blonde. And she was the pillow fighting champion in Chicago for several years.
They
what
had
does that
like a
entail. How do you win a pillow fight?
Yeah, how do you
there
win?
There was literally a competition where you would go and
like knockout.
I don't know if it was knockout. I think it was I'm not gonna do dirty to it of how it was. I think it was
your
maybe set
pillows
up through like Hooters or something like that, where it was more so for gentleman entertainment, possibly. But she did have she did have the crown of the pillow fighting.
So it wasn't like
in Chicago.
MMA.
It wasn't MMA.
It wasn't like really going at. I was not like, but you know, I thought it was
but
like savage.
Now there is MMA pillow fighting.
Incredible.
I've seen it before on YouTube. I believe it's done in Russia or not Russia, but like a Chechenian type country where it is in an octagon and they have pillows and they do go to town on each other.
Well, I think in our, cause we have a Instagram thread or something where we chat, but I think we've sent, there's also where it's like in a phone booth, like there'll be MMA in a phone booth, like a British style.
That's incredible.
Red booth. And also one that was maybe the most fascinating, which was like, they put two men in a car, one in the passenger seat, one in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Lock the doors and then like ding a bell and they fight. And it's like,
oh man.
And the first move is to get your seatbelt off. Cause if you don't get your seatbelt off, the guy can then choke you out with the seatbelt.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's too many
the
ways to
fight.
The car
one I've watched several times. It's quite incredible.
Yeah.
Cause you can choose, like you can flip a coin as to who's passenger and who's driver because the steering wheel's there.
I'm trying to think of some other fun ones. Like, I don't think a tanning bed would work, but I think a tanning bed fight could be fun. Just trying to like more.
Ow.
Wait, so like one guy is like on top, like
and they close it, and then they start.
The first guy who gets out,
the panini press. So besides pillow fight, because there's also like I've never seen it, but I think it's like used as a joke, the butt of a joke in like movies. There's like Jello wrestling with women, right? It's like a kiddie pool full of Jello, or
that was in like Stripes. Or
well, I was gonna say Stripes has like mud wrestling, where
mud
John
wrestling.
Candy and
I think old school has
Bill Murray,
that it's too messy.
I don't understand the appeal of that.
No,
I don't. Yeah, it's not. No. I mean,
but then again, I'm not a pervert, so
man.
Well, I'm low a low key pervert.
You're low key, not a pervert. Low key, not a pervert.
I don't like women covered in anything. I don't like feet, but I do really enjoy ribs.
Oh, now if they had a tub of ribs and a couple of ladies were
women's ribs. Yeah, I just want to play women's ribs like a xylophone. That's my thing. I want to hear the clink, clink, clink.
And there's also we taboo of like pillow talk, of like you're supposed to be like, is that supposed to be like a thing where it's like the sexy talk?
No,
I think
is that what pillow talk is?
Isn't it?
I thought it was like you're just that's where you kind of talk to your partner about stuff. Like, just about, yeah, like...
But I've always heard, like, ooh, is that pillow talk? Like,
oh, no, wait, you know what? You're right. You're probably right. Or, my God, have I been doing pillow talk wrong?
I believe you're just talking about, Rob, I believe what you're trying to describe is just a conversation you're supposed to have with your wife, yeah, on a daily basis.
Yeah,
I think like, I'm just I don't like to talk to her until we go right to bed.
No, we talk, I mean, yeah.
I do really enjoy, like, Rob in a room with a naked woman who's, like, dancing, and Rob's like, oh, I had a really rough day at work today. Or like, how much mileage do you think a Kia Telluride gets?
See, that I would do. I don't talk about my problems, but I would just say stuff like that. Yeah,
I've actually heard it both ways. One, which is pillow talk, is like what you talk to your partner before you fall asleep.
That's
like
it's just whatever
you talk about before, mm-hmm, sure, before you actually zonk out or say goodnight. And then I've also heard maybe it's like 1920s to 1960s. It was considered uncouth to say like dirty talk. So you would say either bedroom talk or pillow talk,
okay,
I believe. But okay, I've heard it both ways. So I don't know. I think you're both right. I think.
Can I just do probably a quick jump to some? Could you, right, today, somebody sent me something about the origin of suffering succotash. And do you know that was like replaced a swear because there was a time in like, I think it was like Victorian England or something where you weren't supposed to be profane. So they had other words. And I don't remember what the actual word was for that. That would have been helpful. But the one that really got me was instead of saying Jesus Christ,
yeah,
they said cheese and rice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that
You've
makes
never
sense.
Heard cheese
I've
and
never
rice?
I've never heard that before.
Are you serious?
See, I'm dead. So I've never heard of cheese and rice.
I've heard that so often. I've heard.
Really?
Either.
I've never heard that.
Either legit cheese and parents, rice. I've heard legit parents of friends that I grew up with who would be like cheese and rice, or I've heard it on like sitcoms or whatever where they'd be like cheese and rice.
That's interesting. I've never
here's
heard
what I'd if I were to be tasked with deciphering what suffering succotash was a stand-in for, mm-hmm, suffering I'd have to assume was motherfucker.
But would they be saying that in
motherfuckering
like...
fucking butt? Motherfuckering.
I think that's exactly what it was. They were always walking around going, "You motherfucking fucking butt." Or...
Oh no, I don't think
suffering.
I don't.
What
think
was
so.
Fucking butt? Was Dr. Frankenstein's first monster?
Suffering.
The real monster.
I don't know.
So succotash suck has to be fuck, but in tash, fucking back, fucking. Fucking stash. Fuck. Oh, maybe it was like a mustache thing, like your fucking stash.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're anywhere near it.
We all agree that it's been popularized by Sylvester the Cat?
Sylvester Stallone.
Is that who says it? Sylvester Stallone.
Does Yosemite Sam say it, or does Sylvester the Cat?
No, it's Yosemite Sam.
Oh, you're right.
You burn my biscuits.
Yeah, you're right.
Here's what I'll say. Hands down, no discussion needed. Absolute best catchphrase is Snagglepuss, who says, exit stage left, right even. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Heavens to Murgatroyd
means, I think it means like, you goddamn son of a bitch.
Oh,
heavens
wow.
Murgatroyd? How do we...
Really?
They were low key. They got a lot. I've been rewatching all of the Muppet Show, the original Muppet Show on Disney Plus with my daughter, and they definitely. There's a lot of adult humor that they snuck into that show.
Have you seen the Mum and Chance episode?
Yes, I hate it so much because I don't
watch it. Watch it again high, and you'll love it.
Oh, okay.
Also, did you know? Speaking of little secrets of cartoons, I believe the Muppets. So I guess they're puppets, not cartoons, unless you're talking about Muppet Babies. I believe they were all based on 70s rock musicians. Have you heard this? You seen this?
Well, I know the one guy is like Dr. John, right?
Yeah, one
Dr. Teeth is Dr. John. Rolf is supposed to be Tom Waits. Jan, the woman with like the half-closed eyes, who's like real hippy-dippy, mm-hmm, I think is supposed to be like Karen Carpenter. Mm-hmm. Miss Piggy is supposed to be Bobby McGee, me and Bobby McGee.
Janis Joplin.
That's what I heard.
Wouldn't you be bummed out if you were like, oh, they made a Muppet after you? Like, oh, and
it's a pig. Well, her nickname was Piggy.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
America's okay, Words, not mine. And then
I didn't know that at all. Animal
is supposed to be the drummer for Keith Moon. Keith Moon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I think that makes sense. I can see where you can make those connections.
Yeah.
Too.
Kermit, no idea.
Now, have you ever, and this is going back to Rob's word, Have you ever used the phrase HHP time when you're talking about traveling or anything like that?
HHP?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Is that like, I want to leave hit pillow?
Yeah,
the head first serial killer?
Head hit pillow. I'd say I want to leave at 8:10 because I want to be head hit and pillow by 9:10.
That is a dad thing to say.
Yeah, I say HHP time a lot.
I've never
I don't know where I got it from, but I definitely use HHP time a lot.
Oh, you know what? I actually say HHOP. Head hit one pillow.
I mean, oh boy.
Truly unfucking real.
Yeah, unreal. Honestly.
It's a one pillow night.
I didn't realize I am such in the minority on this, but nobody I've talked to just uses one pillow. It's really interesting.
It sounds like a punishment to me.
We're not living in prison. We're allowed to have most places only sell pillows in 2-pack.
I know. Yes, I have a spare pillow in my closet because I had a 2-pack.
So is this like a self-flagellation thing? Like, no. are you low-key into like S&M and you're like, no. I've been a bad little boy. My head needs
to
hurt.
I've tried to sleep on two pillows and it just feels like too much. It's too much. I don't find comfort in more than one pillow.
Disgusting.
I know.
Interesting. Well,
I know.
You're low-key not going to make it onto any lists, so.
Well, Brett, why don't you go ahead and bring us home and work in all the words?
I just tried to do it, but I fucked up because I couldn't get pillow in there.
I know. I was trying to give you, trying to give you another chance.
How about this has been a pillow key listful episode?
Stuck the landing. Nice. Thank you all for listening. We are the Word Association. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.